Boker Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. We're in the middle of a sugya now on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet of Masechet Yevamot, and we will focus on several issues, really three or four different issues, and I've outlined them on the handout today. The handout will be very kedai if you have a chance to look at it or print it out. The limud also today is being done in memory of my grandfather, of Avram Binyamin, pop-wise. Rav Alter Dov, whose yard site is on the 27th of Sivan, the day on which this shiur will be given at Yom Yisrof Century City. Yehi Zichro Baruch. In the Mishnah that we studied, we said that if the man does Yibum and turns out that the woman is pregnant, there's a Mishnah bet, turns out that the woman is pregnant, and then subsequent to that she miscarries, then yikayem. En avlad shel kayama. Now, Tana Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru Yotzi Beget. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with our Tana and says that he must divorce the woman, even though the Yibum is effectively a proper Yibum, because he violated the stricture against marrying too early, and therefore endangered and risked the possibility of violating Isur Eshet Ach. He has to divorce her. Now, Amar Rava. Rava makes the following observation, what we call an alignment. Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Eliezer Amru Davar Achad. He says that conceptually, Rabbi Eliezer's position that we just stated and Rabbi Meir's position that we're going to state now are synonymous. Rabbi Eliezer had the Amran, Rabbi Meir de Tanya. What's Rabbi Meir's position? We have the following, bright. Lo yisa adam miruberet chavero meneket chavero. A man may not marry a woman who has recently become either widowed or divorced if she's either pregnant or nursing. Meir says, and if he violated that, then he has to divorce her, and he may never remarry her. He went against our stricture, and he is fined that way. They may not marry her. Chachamim said, no, he has to divorce her, and then he can wait. And once the time comes that she's already delivered or she's finished nursing, then he may remarry her. So the assumption here is that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir agree that we fine somebody for marrying inappropriately and do not allow him, even after the necessary time has passed or the events have played out, to remarry the woman. That's what we think. Amar Le Abai. So Abai disagrees with Rava. He says, Dilmalohi, perhaps they're not aligned. Ad kam lo kam Rabbi Eliezer, hacha. Perhaps Rabbi Eliezer here only said Yotzi Beget. Because here you risk violating a da'oraita. There, it's simply the advice of the chachamim. They don't want you to marry somebody because it's endangering the vlad. Maybe over there, in the case of marrying someone where the woman is pregnant, and of course we know she's pregnant, so we know if she gives birth who it belongs to, there's no questions there. Perhaps he would hold like the rabbanon and would say, once the time passes, you may remarry her. Inami, we could flip it. Ad kam lo kam Rav Meir hata melo mishum drabanon chacham asuch is going to vary yotem mishal Torah. We always have the general assumption that a prohibition that's drabanon is treated more lightly than a prohibition d'oraita. On the other hand, occasionally we have the phrase asuch chachamim chizuk l'divrayim kishal Torah. The chachamim strengthen their words to be equal with the d'oraita. And on occasion, we'll even find the proposition that Chacham Osuch is the Gevrem Yotem Mishal Torah, because it's an area that people would be treat lightly, they made it even more stringent than Torah. And that may be the case here. Maybe Reb Meir would say, in our case, what he violated was something that endangered a Doraita. Everybody knows about Yisur Eshetach. It's not going to lead to people treating that Yisur lightly, and therefore he can remarry her or stay with her in that case. But in our case, in Reb Meir's case, where it's a Darabon, people will treat it lightly, we're going to fine him very severely. Perhaps. Good. Now, Amar Rava, parenthetically, Rava says, by the way, the Chachamim, who disagreed with Reb Meir, do agree that Yotziya Beget, that he does have to divorce her, and then afterwards he remarries her. It's not like they just separate, in the case of the Muber Chavero. That's not only your note, but it's also an observation about the wording of the Braita. Because the Chachamim don't say Yafrish, they should separate, but rather Yotzi. Shmamina. Good. Now, Amar Rav Ashi Rav Hoshaya, Vrei de Ravidi, Hatam Tanan. Let's test this ruling against another ruling. Over there, we have a Mishnah. It's either Tanan or Tanya. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kol Sheshaba Adam. This is a sugya that's chiefly about issues of Mila B'Shabbos, etc. It shows up in the Perek of Laws of the Mila. Kol Sheshaba Adam, Shloshim Yom Eino Nefel. Any time that a baby is born and it's lived for 30 days, it's already now not classified as a nephil, as a miscarriage. What is the implication? Halo shaha sfeika havi, which means any child who dies within the first 30 days, we always have to raise the safek that it was a miscarriage, right? That somehow made it, but that it was a nephil. Halachically defined as a nephil. The itmar, we have the following statement. Mei patoch shloshim yom v'yam davnit kadsha. Let's say that you have a woman who was widowed, had no children otherwise, she was pregnant, gave birth, and then a child died within 30 days, and she accepted Kiddushin. Ravina Rishmei Durav Amar, Imeshit Yisrael, he choletzet. If she's an Eshet Yisrael, she needs chalitza. Because after all, meaning if the brother that she did Yibum with, is a Yisrael, and she needs chalitza. Why does she need chalitza? Sorry. The woman was pregnant after her husband died, and she gave birth. So subsequently, she married another man outside of the family because the Zika was gone. So then what do we say? If it was an ancient Israel that she had Kiddushin with, we go back, we have one of the brothers give her chalitza, and then, of course, subsequently, she can then marry the original guy that she married because she's a chalitza. But if the man that she married was a Kohen, then we don't force her to go back and give chalitza. We rely on the opinion of the Rabbanim that says that any child who was carried to full term, the minute he's born, he's already not an FL, which means she did give a live birth, and therefore there's no Zika at all, and she could marry this fellow. Now, Rosh Hashayah Mishmei de Rav Rava Amar, Achatzu Achatzu Choletze. Rosh Hashayah said in the name of Rava, he disagreed. He said whether the guy's a Kohen or Yisrael, she needs chalitza. Now, of course, there's a huge difference. Because it means that if the guy's a Kohen, then she has to now go back and get chalitza from the brother, she now can never marry this Kohen. Amar le Ravina le Rav Shashaya. So these two students disagreeing about what they heard in the name of Rava said as follows. The Orta Amar Rava Hachi. So Ravina said to Rav Shashaya, you're right. Rava did say both need chalitza at night. Uvet Safra, the next morning, and you weren't there, the next morning, Hadar Bey, he changed his mind. He said only the Israel needs, not the Ishan Kohen. So Amar Le, Rav Meshashai was not happy with this. He says, Sharitu, you've been matir now that she could marry the Kohen, and doesn't need chalitza. Yerava, the Tishtu Rav Tarba, so you're going to be matir chalev soon. In other words, he was not happy with the fact that this ruling came down lenient. In any case, what's the explanation? We were testing our ruling against this. In our ruling, we said that that if he married Muberet Chavero, that was in the Brayta. He married the woman who was just widowed or divorced, and she's pregnant or she's nursing. So Chacham say you have to divorce her, and then you may take her back when the time is up. Do we say that that doesn't apply if the fellow is a Kohen? Hachanami gavimu beret chaveru menekin chaveru nesua lekohen mai. So what's the story if a Kohen married a woman who was pregnant from her previous husband? Do we say, we're fining you, not Remeir, but Chachamim, we're fining you, and we're saying you have to divorce her, and now, of course, as a grusha, you could never marry her. Mi avu Rabbanan takanta lekohen, did the Rabbanan adjust things for the Kohen and say, you know what, just separate until the time is up, but no get, and that way you can stay married. Hello. So Amar Lei, Rav Hoshaya said back to Rav Ashi, Hachi Hashta, let's examine the two. Bishlama Hatam, in the case of the Nefel, Keva Dika Rabbanan Apliga Leda Rashbag, we have the Rabbanan disagree with Rashbag and say any woman who brought to full term, the minute the baby is born, it's already not a Nefel. Dam Ravagavdul Shah Vlad Mal Yahave, even though he didn't live 30 days, it's a good Vlad. Gabeshit Kohen, Kevin Alef Shav Dinan Krabbanan. So if she married a Kohen, we say, look, there's no other way out. We can rely on the Rabbanan, who say this is a perfectly good baby. She is no longer a Yavama. She could stay with the Kohen. Aval Hacha, but in our case, where the fellow married a woman who's pregnant, Kema Navid, who are we going to rely on? Ikra Meir, Hamayot Sivalech Zero Lamit. If you're going to rely on a Meir, that's not going to help you. After divorce, you can never marry her no matter who you are. Rabbanan, if you follow the Rabbanan, Amri beget. Right? Then they said you need a get, which means there's no one to rely on in the case where a fellow marries his friend's, his fellow's divorcee or widow who is pregnant or is nursing. If he say has to give her a get, there's nothing you can do. There's no opinion to rely on that's going to save him here. Good. Now, we have a small tail to this piece, which is Idmar, Kit Shav and Toch Shlosha. Let's say, in that case of Muberet Chavero, the guy was Mekadesher within 3 months. Within 3 months. Normally, we fine him and say, you have to give her a get, and perhaps your mayor would say, you can never marry her again. But what he did is, he Mekadesher Ubarach, and then he ran away. One guy said, one of them said that we throw him in Cherem, because he violated our rules. His running away demonstrates he's of goodwill. He wants to marry this woman, so he wants to, shall we say, jump on the opportunity, so he gave her kiddushin. But he certainly doesn't want to violate the rabbi's rule of living with a woman while she's nursing somebody else's child, etc. And therefore, he ran away. And by the way, Rafram, one time, which may mean this is his opinion, actually ruled that way. And he said, the fact that the fellow ran away meant that he's of goodwill. We're not going to force him to give a get. And he'll come back when the time is up and she's finished nursing or she's delivered. And then she'll be able to marry. Good. Okay, next piece. The end of the Mishnah talked about a case where the child is born of the, while the woman is with the Yavam. And we're not sure if it's a relatively premature child, 7 month old, of the Yavam, or a Ben Tisha of the Rishon. In other words, the Avam married her a month and a half into her widowhood. And so now she bears a child 7 months later. What's the status of the child? Good. So he said it's a Safek. Now, Amar le Rav v'Rav Nachman. Lema halachacha rov nashim. Why are we calling this kid a Safek? Why are we saying we don't know what to do? And really, he's a Safek ashoko, meaning a 50-50 Safek. Why don't we follow the Rov? Rov Nashim Letisha Yaldan. Most women give birth full term. Most births are full term births. Therefore, we should assume that this child is from the Avam. It's from the original man. And that means she can't, of course, this kid can't stay here, but why would we call him a Safek of any sort? So, Amalei Nashi Didan Leshiva Yaldan. So he said, in our area, women do give birth quite often prematurely. Amalei Nashi Didchu Aviruba the Almawitz. You have a small community that has some weird birth pattern that's going to establish the norm for the world? He said, this is what I meant. Rov Nashim Yaldan Letisha. Most women give birth at 9 months, Vumiyot Leshiva, and a small percentage at 7 months. V'cholai, let it Letisha, Ubra Nikar Leshlisha Me'a. However, every woman who's going to give birth in 9 months is already showing after 3 months. V'zu ha'al v'lohuka ubara. This one, obviously, after 3 months, was not showing, because if it really was a 9 month baby, then when he married her at 3 months, which is what we're assuming here he did, that she wasn't showing. And even if he married her earlier, by 3 months, she wasn't showing, because then if she were showing, we would know that she was pregnant from her first husband. So the Shishamea Yitrale Ruba. So now her rove is shot. Latisha Ubara Nikar, Shishamea. If you're going to tell me that automatically every woman who carries to full term, at one third of the time, meaning 3 months in, is showing every woman. If that's the case, then this child is certainly of the second husband, which, by the way, means that that it is not a problem at all. Of Yibum is perfect, and he doesn't have to get out of to divorce her. Here's how it works: most women who carry to full term. Most women carry a full term, and most women who carry a full term have their child showing after 3 months. And this one, Bahai, Midalohu Karlish, the Shema Itrole Ruba, this one wasn't showing after 3 months, so her rove gets shot. Good. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, watch this case. Rishon Ra'ui Leot Kohen Gadol, V'sheni Mamzer Misafek. Here's a guy who has, this is not our case, but here's a guy who has two sons. Theoretically, the first one could be a Kohen Gadol, and the second one is called Mamzer Safek. This is this is back in the case in our Mishnah. All right, so now, the Rishon, meaning the first child, the that's born, the child that's born that we're looking at in the Mishnah, who is who was born as a suffix tisha, a suffix shiva, we said is that the kid is kosher, which means theoretically he could be a kohen gadol, he could hold the highest position in the land. But if this guy, if the yavam held on to her and had another child, then that other child is a mamzer misafek. That's what the Braita says. Mashini mamzer misafek. What does mamzer misafek mean? It's a little unclear. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer ain mamzer misafek. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says there is no such category, mamzer misafek. Now what does he mean? Huge machlok at Rav and Abayin interpreting what it means. But let's just clarify the case. The Yavam married the girl after 3 months. Married the Yavama after 3 months. 7 months later, she gives birth. He has to divorce her. And by the way, but let's say he didn't. He stayed married to her. So this child that was born after 7 months is a safek of the first guy. If he's of the first guy, then he's perfectly fine. Why is he perfectly fine? Because he belongs to the first husband. Or he's of the second guy, in which case he's perfectly fine, because the first husband left her childless. So either way, he's fine. But let's say that this guy stayed with her, and now we don't know what the status is, whether she's really Yavama or not, and he stays with her. Now this child is a Safek Mamzer, because she may be Yishadach. Now, Maike Amar, what is this bright? The Amar Abaya. Abaya said as follows. Hachi Kamar, Rishon Ra'ili Yerkoin Gadol, very good. V'sheni, Safek Mamzer, V'asur B'Mamzeret. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here, the Tanakhama here says, V'asheni, Safek Mamzer. What does Safek Mamzer mean? It's the worst of all. He's maybe a Mamzer, maybe not a Mamzer, which means he cannot marry anybody, not even a Mamzeret, because he might not be a Mamzer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Eino Safek Mamzer, Elavadai Mamzer. So Elazar ben Yaakov turns around and says, Ein Safek Mamzer. What does that mean? Abaye says, Eino Safek Mamzer. Rather, he's a Vadai Mamzer, Umuter Bamamzer. Which means Elazar ben Yaakov here is being lenient. That's Abaye. Rava Amar, Hachi Kamar, Rishon Ra'ui Liot Kohen Gadol, V'Sheni Mamzer Vadai Misafek. The Tanakhama says this one is treated as a Mamzer Vadai because of the Safek. Umutav Mamzer. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ein Vadai Mamzer Misafek. According to Rava, what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov meant was there is no such case, such thing, as somebody being treated like a Mamzer Vadai because of a Safek. Ela Safek Mamzer, he's just a Safek Mamzer. Also, Mamzeret, which means Rav and Abaye read this mission, this Braita inside out. Tanakhama says that the fellow is a Safek Mamzer. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, Ain Safek Mamzer. Abaye says that the Tanakhama is taking a stringent position. This kid's a Safek Mamzer. He cannot marry a Kshera. He cannot marry Mamzeret. He can't even marry another Safek, because that Safek may play out one way and his may play out the other way. Remember, a Mamzer and a Yisrael are not allowed to marry. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, ain't safek mamzer. There is no such thing. The kid's a vadai mamzer. He can marry mamzeret. Rava reads it the exact opposite way. Why do they do that? Well, let's start with one premise that I put onto the page, and that is that the halacha always follows Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, mishnato shel Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, kavinaki. It's well distilled. And therefore, we always want to follow his ruling, so we're going to adjust whatever we do to read him lehalacha. Good. So now, the Kamipalgi but Rav Elazar, and they're disagreeing really about how to read Rav Elazar. Rav and Abaye are. Did not. Rav Elazar Omer, Vada'an Vada'an Mutar. Rav Elazar says, a Vada Mamzer and a Vada Mamzer can marry. Vada'an Misfekan, Misfekan, Vada'an Misfekan, Misfekan Asur. But either one of them is a Safek cannot marry even another Safek. Ve'elu'en Misfekan, what are the Safekot? Shtuki, Vasufi, Vakuti. These are the categories that are mentioned at the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin, of categories of people that we're not sure what their yichus is, whether they're mamzer or not, something we'll deal with in detail there. Remember Yoram Rav, halacha Rav Elazar, and Rav said halacha is Rav Elazar. Right? If halacha is Rav Elazar, that means safek b'safek is asur. Now, Kamrita came to Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda said that Rav said halacha Rav Elazar, he said it to Shmuel, Amar li, Rav Yehuda says, Shmuel told me, Hillel Shana. Hillel is the author of the Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin. Asori yuchsin olim bavel kohani levi yisraeli chaleli chalali geirei charuri. Charuri means mishucharim. Mamzeri netini, that's a reference to the Givonim. Shtuki Vasufi, these are these foundlings. Kulan Mutarin Lavoze Mazet. And all of them can marry each other. Of course, that's not true. But it does mean that all of them can marry within that group at some point. None of them are unmarriageable. Which means that Hillel said the halacha quite clearly that the Sfeikot, a Sufi and Shtuki, could marry a Mamzer. Which means a Sufik Mamzer can marry a Vadai Mamzer. V'yatamar talacha kor Belazar. And so Shmuel then said to Rav Yehuda, you're saying halacha is like kor Belazar against Hillel? Good. So now here's the deal. Abaye wants Rav Elazar ben Yaakov to come out lahalacha. Abaye sabra la kishmuel. So Abaye holds like Shmuel that we accept the ruling that Asura Yuchsin can, those they can marry within each other, not all of them, they can marry within each other. And therefore, it must be the halacha that a Suffolk mamzer, there's no such thing as a Suffolk mamzer. Once somebody is classified as a mamzer, they can marry the other mamzer. He makes Rav Elazar ben Yaakov fit the halacha. So that you won't say, how can you paskin like Hillel and the paskin of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? The answer is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is consistent with Hillel. Rava sabra like Rav. Rava holds like Rav, who said that the halacha is like Rav Elazar, that a Suffolk and a Vade can't marry. And Rava did the same thing. He read Rav Elazar ben Yaakov as being stringent in accordance with what he felt the halacha was, so that there won't be a contradiction within the system. Good. Now, Amar Abaye, Mina Amin Allah, how do I know the Chol Sfeiko of Rav Yaakov Kivade Mashvilei? How do I know that Rav Elazar Yaakov really holds that a Suffolk Mamzer is like a Vadai Mamzer? Titania, we have several statements of Rav Elazar Yaakov about marriage. Rav Elazar Yaakov, Hare Shabal Nashim Harbe. Let's say a man has multiple relationships all over the different ports. Venyo De Al Ezim Yen Ba. He has no, he doesn't remember which ones he had relations with. Or a woman had sex with a lot of men. She doesn't know who she got pregnant from. You can have all sorts of terrible things going on. People marrying their sisters and people marrying their mothers and all sorts of things like that. Because people won't know what the yichsun are. And the whole world becomes full of mamzerin. The world is, pasuk number one, the world will become filled with licentiousness. Now, notice what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov does. He says, here's somebody who doesn't know what their yichus is, and we're going to allow them to marry, but the result of that is going to be a catastrophe, because it could be that they're really marrying their own brother. According to you, Rav, it should be that none of them can marry at all, because they're all safek. Rav malachachi kamar zumahi. Rav said, no, you know what zima is? Zima means zuma. What is this? Meaning we don't know what the yichus is. But not that we're going to allow such marriages. Now, Yater al ken Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now we have two other statements about Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that do not touch on this particular issue, but are related to Kiddushin. Lo yisad nami sham dina zuvi yelef yisai sham dina acheret. You can't get married in two different places. Sham yisdav guzel azeh, because maybe you'll have kids here and you'll have kids there, and one family will move and they'll end up meeting each other and you're out of the picture, let's say. And you could end up having a brother marrying a sister, because he won't know. V'hai, how can you tell them? Tell me that. V'hai, Rav ki iklav the Dardashir, when Rav used to travel to Dardashir. Machriz v'amar man havio v'yoma. He used to make an announcement. He said, I'm going to be here for a short time. Who will be my wife while I'm here? He didn't want to stay single while he was there. Instead of a temporary marriage. V'nachman ki iklav the shachnatziv, machriz v'amar man havio v'yoma. V'nachman did the same thing. So the answer is, shanu rabbanu de p'kiya shamayu. That's different. Why? Because these people are so famous that if they indeed did have a child, the child would be told from a young age, your father is this great rabbi, and the child therefore would never inadvertently get involved in a relationship with someone who turned out to be his sister. Parenthetically, we have a halacha that once the chatan says to the kala, let's get married, because, you know, they would give kiddushin and then wait several months while they prepared for their married life. Once he says, let's get married, they automatically have to wait shiva nikim, because the assumption is that the excitement of getting married is going to generate some menstrual flow, and therefore we have to wait. So how could Rav come into town and say, manav liyoma? The answer is, rabbanan shluchayu av mishadri, umodilahu. They used to send messengers in advance and say, the great rabbi is coming to town who would like to be his wife while he's here, and they'd make such an announcement, and so there would be plenty of time. And the other possibility is they never really slept with him. They never really lived and married people while they were there. But they just had a woman to keep him company. Why? It's a lot easier to control your urges when you've got something waiting for you at home. So if Rav was coming to a particular town, he was going to be there for a while, he would not be tempted at all to an illicit relationship, because he knew that back at his the home that he was staying in, there was a woman who was his, even if he never acted on it. Good. Now, one more statement of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Tana Rav Elazar ben Yaakov mer, Laisa adam ishto, o isha, v'dato l'garsha. A man should not marry a woman intending to divorce her. This, of course, goes immediately directly against the stories that we just heard. Except we'd have to say, in those stories, the women knew what they were getting into. They had this great opportunity to be the consort, the companion, the great rabbi for a few days or for a couple of weeks. It was worth it. But here we're talking about somebody who masks his intentions. Why? As you can see from the pasuk, Shinamar al tacharesh al re'acha ra'a. Al tacharesh al re'acha ra'a. Literally, don't sit in wait and planning evil against your neighbor. Who's sitting with you, trusting you. You have somebody who's sitting there trusting, in the meantime, you're scheming against them. That's a terrible, terrible thing. So you marry a woman, she assumes you're going to stay married to her, she assumes you're going to support her and be her companion, and then the whole time you've been doing it, intending to divorce her, and you were doing it for some bizarre reason, whatever it may be. Okay, now, the last piece we're going to deal with is a series of cases where this Safek child, the child who was born after 7 months of Yibum, and we don't know, and nobody knows, this is of course pre-DNA and all, we don't know whether or not this child is the dead brother's child, in which case, by the way, the entire estate of the dead brother should belong to him, and that's what we're going to get into now, or whether he's really the child of the Avam, in which case, at this point, he gets nothing, because that estate goes to the Yavam, his father, who was Miyavim, the wife. And then, after the Avam dies, he would split it with his brothers, who are the other children of the Avam. So let's see how it plays out. All right, Safek v'Yavam. So now, this Safek kid and his new father. Shebao l'chlok v'nichse mitana. They're not going to divide up the dead brother's estate. Safek amar ana bar mitanahu. So the Safek will argue, I'm the child of that man. V'nichse didihu, it all belongs to me. The Avam amar at broi didi, and the Avam says, no, you're my son. V'leidlach v'lo midi minichse, and you have nothing here. A nephew doesn't inherit before his father, the brother. So what's the status? There is no way to determine who this child is. We have to call it a 50-50 safek as to whether he should get everything or get nothing. And therefore, mavon amuta basofek chokin, we divide the property 50-50. Second case. Sofek uvnei Yavam. So now, the new father dies, and now his sons and this Safek come to divide up the property. They're going to divide up the dead brother's property, meaning the first brother's property. In other words, brother one died childless, wife one was turned out to be, after it was mityabemet to brother two, and 7 months later had a child. We don't know if it's the son of brother one or son of brother two. And now they never divided up brother one's estate, and brother two dies. So now the Safek comes along with the, let's call it, two sons, or Vadai sons of the Yavam, to divide up the dead brother's property. Safek amaru gavra bar mitanahu. He said, I am the son of that man. So which means that I get it all. V'nichsi didihu. And the brothers say, no, you're one of our brothers. There's three brothers. We should divide it up three ways. You don't get all of it. You get a third. Now, they thought that it's the same as a Mishnah much later on in the Masechet. Now, this is talking about a Safek without an issue of Yibum. A man dies. His wife marries another man. And each man had children. A man dies, leaving two children and his wife. The wife now marries another man who's got two children. And in the meantime, the wife then has a child after 7 months. And we don't know who this child is. So what's its deal? Each family can then say, you belong to the other family. So Who ain't no Yorishim Tam? He cannot get Yerusha from either family. Vehem Yorishino To, and they are Yorishim 50-50. They split it. Vehacha Ipcha. And so now the Rabbanan thought, here it's the opposite. He, the brother, claims, I certainly have some estate here. You may have nothing here, so you should get everything. Hatam Amri Ipcha Hatam. Amri Le Aitiraya Ushkol. Hacha Amri Le Aitiraya Ushkulu. So we should say the same thing here, inverted. That he, there, the brothers of each family say to this guy in the middle, bring a raya that belonged to our family and take. He can't, so he gets nothing. Here, he could turn around and say, I'm certainly in this Yerusha. You guys bring a raya that you're in this Yerusha and take, which they can't do. You should get it all. That's what we think. Amar Shashai, Rav Shashai said, no, midami, hatam, inu, vadai, v'yusafik. There, the brothers of each family are vadai, and this guy's a suffik in each case. Hacha, idi, v'idi, suffik. Here, but everybody's a suffik. And nobody's got a vadai claim on this property, on the whole property. Ale idami lematnitin lahadami. It's really like this one. Lasofik of neyavam shabal lachlok menichse avam gufe. It's like the next case, which is the safek and the sons of the avam coming to divide up the new father's property. Dahatam amrile aiti raya daachunaat. They'll say you bring a raya that you're one of our brothers and that you should be in the Yerusha ushkol. Ushkol, Safek of Neyavam, Ushkol, right? That would be the same thing. So in other words, the same case here, when the Safek of Neyavam come to divide up the original brother's property, they could say to him, prove to us that you are really, that you really have a stake here at all. Now, Safek of Neyavam, Shabbat Lachlok Benich Seyavam, let's see the case. Levato de Palagavam Benich Seymitana. Here's what happened. Following case one, the Safek and the new father divided up the dead father's property. Now, he died, and so now the Safek and the children of the Avam are coming to divide. Bnei Avam Amri, Aiti Raya Dachunat, Ushkol. They say, bring a raya that you are our brother at all and get anything. Amar Lehu Safek, Manaf Shaychu. So the Safek says to them, hey, either way, if I am your brother, Havuli Mantavadaihu, I get a portion with you. If, on the other hand, I am the son of that dead man, the original dead man, Havuli Palga the Palgavuchon Badai, give me back my half that I split with him. If you're gonna claim that I'm really not your brother, that means I belong to the first man, and I already lost half of that as per case one. Now, in this case, what do we do? Av Abba Amarav Kamdina. So Rav Abba, quoting Rav, said the original din stays. We don't reopen the case, and here he is knocked out because he can't prove that he's part of the family. Rav Yirmiya Maharda Dina. Rav Yirmiya says no. We go back and reopen it. Reopen the original case. Now, Lema Bepluta Admon VeRabbanan Kamipalgi. Perhaps Rav Yirmiya and Rav Abba are having the same machloket that Admon and the Chachamim had about the following case. Here's the contours of the case. A man owns a property, and it's surrounded by four different owners who own fields, and in one of those fields he has an easement that belongs to him to get from the public area into his field. He leaves for a while, comes back, and finds that one man has bought up all four of the outside fields, kind of jumping the gun here, and he knows that his easement is in one of the fields. He doesn't know which it is. That's the case. So let's see it. So a guy went away, and the easement got brush covered it over, or it got wiped out. Admona says he can take the quickest, the shortest path. That's his. Nope, he has to buy it for whatever the seller wants to sell it to him for. If not, then let him try to fly over. In other words, he doesn't have any rights. Avinan bala rabbanan shaper kama admon. So we said. This doesn't make sense. Well, Admon said, good. What's the case? He's surrounded by four different people. This is going to be the Mimon of Shachar. He's surrounded by four different people on the four sides. So if that's the case, why does Admon make his claim? Each guy can say, go to him. You don't have a claim on me. Go to him. Rava says, Admon and Chacham agree that if there's four owners now, whether four owners who were originally four owners or four owners who bought all from one guy and divided it up, then they can push him around and say, you don't have a claim on me, go to him. Here's the case, whereas I already telegraphed it, one guy owns it, but he bought it from four different people. Admon says, the guy could say, look, somewhere in your property I have an easement, so I'll take the shortest one. Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan say, the Amalei Yishat Kat Shat Kat, if you're silent and leave it alone, fine. Milo Madrana Shtar Alamarayu, if not, then I'll just give the Shtar back to all four of these guys. Vilomatsi Lishtua Dinim Ahadayu, and then you'll have no one to go to. Me, at least, you could buy an easement from. You go to these four guys, each one is going to say, it's not on my property, and you'll be stuck. So now, Lema Rabbi Abba Damar Karabbanan. So it sounds like Rabbi Abba is holding like the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Abba says, come, Dina, let the Dean stay where it is. Rabbi Yir, and the Safek is out, and it's sort of like a subtle threat. If you don't, we're not going to allow you to reopen it. Rabbi Yirmiya Damar Ka'admon. So Amalacha Rabbi Abba, Ana Damri Afilu Ka'admon. Rabbi Abba says, no, what I'm working saying works to Admon also. Ad Kam Lo Ka'amar Admon. Hatam El Mishim Namalim Imanav Shach Tarchi Gabach. Tarchi Chad Gabach. The Admon's case is reasonable because the guy's saying, look, one of these fields has my easement in it somewhere. Avalacha Mi'ika Lemem Rahachi. But you can't not say that in this case with the, case of the Safek coming to the Avam, he doesn't have a clear taina that he is making, a clear claim that he's making. Is he arguing that I should really get my original half back, or I want to get a chelik with you guys? He's not making one particular claim. All right? But Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Lacha, Rabbi Yirmiyah would say, Ana Damri Afidu Rabbanan, An Kam Lo Kam Rabbanan, Hatam Elo Mishum Damar Lehi Shatgat Shatgat Vilo Madron Ashtar Alam Arayu. The only reason the Rabbanan say there that you have to buy the easement is because they have this threat hanging over you that they could say, the guy has a threat that he could give the star back to the original four guys and you'd be stuck. Here there is no such thing that the Bnei Avam don't have any such power in their hands of saying, if you don't leave this alone, we're going to manipulate X, Y, and Z and put you in a worse position. They don't have such power. Good. Now, the second to last case, Safek V'Yavam, Shabal Achlok B'Nichsei Saba. So now, the Safek kid and Yavam, brother, come to divide up grandfather's property, meaning this Yavam's father and this Safek's grandfather's property. Safek Amar Hai Gavra Bar Mitanahu. He says, I am the brother of the son of the original brother. Upaga Didihu, which means now there's two estates. There's my father gets half, and you get half, and I get my father's part. So we should split it evenly. Yavam Amar At Bri Didi. The Yavam says, you're my son. V'leib lach v'lo midi. You get nothing. The son doesn't inherit while his father's alive. Havi Yavam Vadai V'Safek Safek. Bein Safek Motsi Midei Vadai. That's easy. The Yavam certainly has property here. The Safek doesn't necessarily. So the Vadai, the Yavam gets everything. Safek Uvnei Yavam Shabal Lach Logan Yisei Saba. But now the Safek and his either brothers or cousins, the other children of the Avam, come to divide up grandfather's property. Safek Amaru Gava Bamitanahu Upaga Didihu. Again, he says, I am the son of the guy, the original brother who died, and I get half the estate. But Avam Amriachunat, and they say, no, you're our brother. Umanta Ilach Bahadan, Bahadan. And you have a chelek with us. Let's say there's two of them, so you got a third. He says, I get a half. So Paga de Kamodilahu. So first of all, one half that he agrees they get, because he agrees we'd split it half-half, shakli, they take. Tilta de kamodile, and a third that they're agreeing he gets, shakal. How much is left? 1/6. Pashlu danka, that's a sixth. So, what ends up happening is, they get 7/12, and he gets 5/12. Now, sava v'yavam b'nichse safek, o sava v'safek b'nichse yavam. Yavam. You have the grandfather and the Avam, and the Safek died. So what do they do? Or the grandfather and the Safek and the Avam died. Nobody has a better claim than the other, and they divide the property equally. So in the next podcast, we will pick up on Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, the next Mishnah. Everybody should have a wonderful day.